Speaking of college football, we're going to get the hour started with another round of Stroman on Sports, talking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, the host of Cover 2 right here on WCHL, and a longtime sports commentator and star athlete in her own right, talking about college football this week because of a big story that has hit the news just in the last couple of days, or a big development in the last couple of days as part of a story that has been in the news for quite some time, which is turmoil surrounding the football program at the University of Maryland, where one student died in practice earlier this year. Jordan McNair, the head coach, DJ Durkin, had been suspended, but earlier this week he was brought back on as head coach with no other punishment other than the portion of the suspension that he had served out. And there is a large number of people in Maryland, including reportedly some of the players on the team itself, who are not happy about it. So Dr. Debbie Stroman joining us now to talk about that. Thanks for being with us. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing well, but I'll tell you, there are many, many sports stories that keep you engaged and you get emotional over, but it's been a long time where I've really been touched by this particular situation at the University of Maryland College Park. To make a long story short and to unravel it, what has really just lit up the campus to the extent that the students have voted emergency legislation that DJ Durkin, the coach who was on administrative leave, to have him be fired. They've called for a rally tomorrow, Justice for Jordan. They have over 1,000 people, primarily students, who have signed up to be there. They're also looking at decreasing the student fees, about $400 a year students pay to support the athletic department. Well, they're questioning because they don't believe that the students have the same values as the athletic department. The Board of Regents, James Brady, he basically acknowledged, the entire board acknowledged after two reports, that the athletic department was dysfunctional and that the student athletes were afraid to speak up due to this culture of, if you speak up, something bad's going to happen. And so fast forward, Jordan McNair, he does pass away after an organized workout, and the Maryland employees, they were considered in this report to be very passive and indifferent to Jordan. And so it always goes back to money, I found. I don't even say most of the time. It always goes back to money because they decided to bring back the head coach, saying that he's a young coach and a first-time head coach, and they brought back the athletic director, who is pretty new in his position as well. And so there's just outrage on this campus.
As well there should be. And this is a situation, too, where the university president had apparently wanted to fire the head coach, right, and was told by the Board of Regents, don't do that or we'll fire you. So it's that level of sticking up for this coach on the part of university administrators. And this is a coach who bears at the very least a significant amount of responsibility for creating a culture that led to the death of a student.
Absolutely. And it is Dr. Wallace Lowe. Now, if you read the reports, the president of the system, again, the Board of Regents, he says that they did not put pressure on the president to do XYZ with the coach. But Lowe is pretty adamant, and to the extent that he's going to retire in June, he's supposed to work on reforms while he is, during his remaining months. But the parents, they had a press conference with their attorneys. And as we all know, the university administration is to protect and nurture its students. Well, the lawyers basically stated that with this rehire or reinstatement, and I'll quote here, they validated the heartbreaking actions by Durkin and his staff by continuing the employment of the man who failed in his responsibility to Jordan. And so they said that the coach had lied to them while Jordan was in the hospital for 2 weeks before he passed away. They are promising to explore all possible avenues, so you know a lawsuit is happening. And then a good friend of the father, he is well known all across Maryland in football and basketball recruiting. He says that Maryland will continue to have dark days until Durkin is removed, as in he's contacting athletes, coaches, high school coaches, high school athletes, the top athletes in Baltimore, which we know is a pipeline to College Park athletics, that they're saying do not go to the University of Maryland. So this is major, and especially for the Big Ten. They brought in Maryland thinking they could own that D.C. market for media, and now you have this stink for the Big Ten. So this is definitely something that's touching every bit of college football.
And this is also a situation where the players are kind of divided, right, as far as support for the coach versus opposition to the coach. He comes into a team meeting after being suspended, all smiles and happy, according to the report that I read, and you had three players who just stood up and walked out of the meeting.
Well, you know it's pretty serious when you have players who have a scholarship and they are obligated to, you know, fulfill their responsibilities as football players, and yet they're walking out on a team meeting. So that means they have a support. They are organized. Again, they looked at moving the time of the rally so that the football players could be there. And you've got a mix of students. I read in one report that you've got the college Democrats, the college Republicans, the student chapter, the NAACP. All of the students are coming together saying that the athletic department and the university leadership is out of control and not thinking about them as students first.
So we're talking about the situation in Maryland and the extent to which everyone seems to be coming together in opposition to the reinstatement of the coach and the reinstatement of the athletic director and what's going on with Maryland football and what the Board of Regents has done. That's heartening. At the same time, the follow-up question, to what extent is this an outlier? To what extent is this an anomaly? And to what extent is this just a particularly egregious example of the extent to which money has taken over not just college athletics, but now the entire university system in general?
Well, I definitely think it speaks to NCAA college football bowl level that this type of behavior where you have a football coach, if it's not the basketball coach, really run their own shop. And there's no one who actually goes in and holds them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, absolutely. Do the athletic directors visit with team practices? Absolutely. Do they fill out reports for the athletic department and the NCAA? Absolutely. But in terms of what goes on in that program, that's why it's so critical to have a head football coach that truly lives up to the responsibility that they have to protect students. So I say this type of practice is common. Now, in terms of this bad behavior, I would say that this is more unique or an outlier. If you just read, I have the listening audience, if you want to go to Sport Illustrated, they did a nice piece. It's called Why Did Maryland Reinstate DJ Durkin? And talking about some of his behaviors, everything from having the football players watch disturbing videos, from drills entering eyeballs, serial killers, bloody scenes with animals eating animals, all this type of stuff to motivate and entertain the players. That is very, very bad. It's weird. It's ugly. And it's disrespectful. So I'm hopeful that even though this all goes back to money, that we can have more high character people in these positions and willing to make the tough decisions. When you go back to the money, if they would have fired Durkin without calls, they would have to pay him $5.1 million. Mm-hmm. And so that's why many people say that's why they brought him back.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and again, talking about Maryland football, and you mentioned firing Durkin without cause is a $5 million payout. You could argue, right, that if they fire Durkin, it's certainly, you could make the argument that it's for cause, especially given what's happened, but that leads to lawsuits and costly
right.
legal proceedings, right? So it's a payout by the university either way.
That's right. But I'll tell you, the branding now on Maryland football, and of course thinking about all the other athletes within the athletic department and the price you're going to pay, you know, when you have football and when you have a men's basketball have major scandals, it affects everybody. And certainly, I know there are many coaches who will consider, I'm not saying they'll do it, but they'll consider using this as a way to gain advantage with recruits who were once interested in Maryland football.
So what is it going to take then to get us back to a point, and I might even be optimistic in saying get us back to a point as if we were once at the point and now we're not there anymore, but to get us to a point where there is accountability, there is some actual oversight with teeth and with the power to impose actual sanctions over and above universities policing themselves, because we got this situation at Maryland, we've got this ongoing scandal that seems to be catching every major college basketball program up, involving shoe companies and agents and payouts and things like that, and bringing it back to UNC. We've got 18 years worth of phony classes that ended up with no sanctions whatsoever.
Well, the easy answer is just to say that we need someone at the top, as in the top of the rankings, the top of the money flow, to say we need to go in a different direction, that for me to make, you know, $4 million a year as a coach, this is, just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. For someone to say that our facilities now look like professional football or professional basketball facilities, for someone at the top to say, let's stop this. Keeping up with the Joneses is not good for us. Now, with that being said, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's gotten to the point where the greed, the profit is so wonderful and enjoyable to those folks that they're not going to let go of that. And so the only other thing, just like America, you have to protest and you have to organize. And so it's going to take the folks, the grassroots, as in the athletes, to protest. It's going to take those well-meaning coaches at the lower end of the financial lollipop to say, this isn't right. But it's going to take some type of organization from the grassroots to say, I'm tired of trying to keep up with, you know, these big powerhouse programs. It doesn't make any sense. We're sacrificing too much. Maybe we're going to drop football or try not to do big time basketball. But I'm not betting on the top to say this is just out of control.
But it's us as well, right? I mean, we hold the remotes. We've got the season tickets in our hands. We can shut off the TV and not go too, right?
Well, that's true. But again, if the fans in our local towns, if we don't decide to participate, you know, they're building this this type of engine globally. And so how do you tell folks in England or, you know, South Africa or Australia not to pay attention? And so the advertisers will find different ways. You know, it's that shell game. Mm-hmm. They'll find other folks. But you need some folks who are inside this system to rebel and say this just doesn't make sense. And maybe we just need to continue what we're doing, but take it off of college campuses and have separate entities, you know, like Europe and, you know, where you have club teams and things like that. But it definitely more and more each and every day we're seeing the conflict with academics, and especially when you have something like this. I mean, just a tragedy for Jordan McNair.
And speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, as we wrap up the conversation, final thoughts. What, if anything, should we be taking away from this?
Well, lessons learned, definitely governance of universities. You know, we call it Board of Governors. Some say regents, some say trustees, all these different names. But understanding how governance works for college campuses. College Park is the flagship for University of Maryland. So people are questioning about the timing on all this right before the election. So that conversation is happening as well. What were the pros and cons of dropping this right before the election in terms of how they're going to vote for their governor? I would also say looking at college presidents or chancellors and looking at what can happen, how much, and I see the parallels between what's happening here with UNC and University of Maryland in terms of Chancellor Folt being in the hot seat on both sides of the spectrum and Dr. Lowe at Maryland being on the hot seat for both sides in terms of your decision making. Definitely big time football lessons there, that even though you had a coach, a head coach who seemed to be in over his head, so to speak. The question is, why didn't the medical team do more? And some people say, even though the medical team did not report directly to the head coach, his influence was so powerful that that's why the staff acted more, not so concerned about the young man's health, because Coach Durkin had this philosophy of no quitting whatsoever. And so regardless of, you know, his temperature and not immersing him in cold water and all of that, there was a sense of back off, you know, he'll figure it out. He's not as bad off as he looks. They didn't even take his temperature. So those types of things in terms of supervision and accountability.
Again, much more to say about this, and that conversation will continue across the nation as we get more information. But tune in to Cover 2 here on WCHL, hosted during football season by Dr. Debbie Stroman. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.